Well, it is a pleasure for me to be here this evening. I would just like to extend my thanks to the Reverend Higginson and the session for affording me this opportunity to come and sing for you this night and to give a word of testimony. And I'll just ask you, if you have your Bibles with you, please, to turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, and I'm just going to read a few verses out of Psalm 86. I'm just picking out a few verses, verse 5, 13, and 15. Psalm 86. Let's hear the word of the Lord. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Maybe if we could just still our hearts before the Lord in a short word of prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank thee, Lord, that we can approach the thrice holy God of heaven in and through the veil. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come to thy throne room this evening, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for the new and living way, Lord, that we have access unto thee. Lord God, I just thank thee, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed man of Calvary. Lord God, I thank thee, Lord, for the sinless Savior, Lord. I thank thee, Lord, that his precious blood was shed for a wretch like me. And Lord God, I thank thee, Lord, for giving me a testimony, Lord, to tell others, Lord, of the grace and the mercy of God. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that thou will draw nigh unto me this evening, Lord, and fill me with thy Holy Spirit, Lord. Strengthen me, I pray. Lord God, I ask thee, dear Lord, to Lord, move by thy Spirit this night, Lord. Draw unto every person, Lord. Lord God, meet every person at their point of need, Lord. And Lord God, I ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, Lord. Lord God, that thou wilt apply thy word, Lord, to the hearts of sinners, Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt move in salvation blessing this night, Lord. Thou wilt restore the backslidden, Lord. And Lord God, I ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt bless the preaching of thy word. Enable thy brother, Lord, my brother, Lord, in Christ, Lord, to preach with power and with liberty, Lord. Strengthen him, I pray. I just pray that all these things will be done to the glory and honor of Christ Jesus this night. Amen. I was brought up just outside the village of McGabbery near Lisburn. I'm thankful to God that I was brought up in a good home by parents that loved and cared for me. But it saddens me to say that it was a home without Christ. My parents were members of the local Church of Ireland. And up until my teenage years, I was faithfully sent along each week to the church services, the Sunday school, the church lads brigade. Even though I was a regular attender at church, I can never recollect hearing about my need to be saved in the pulpit or Sunday school. I do remember, though, reciting prayers and creeds out of the prayer book, which give me a certain head knowledge of my sin, my standing before a holy God. I knew that I needed forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's all I ever had was a head knowledge. I did not believe these truths in my heart. It saddens me to say that the church that I was brought up in for the first 16 years of my life, there was very little gospel light in that church. And it saddens me to say that I do not believe that many of the Sunday school teachers or the ministers that I sat under were saved, but only the Lord knows the heart. So I pray that I am wrong, but just from what I heard in that church, I never really received any light. When I was 16 years of age, I was invited by a school friend to go to a Methodist youth club. And each Friday night, after the time of recreation we had, a different speaker would come along and give an epilogue. Week after week, the youth club was a place where I heard the way of life clearly set before me through Jesus Christ. It was there that I learnt that God created me for a special relationship with himself. But as Isaiah says in chapter 59, verse 2, each of us had a problem. It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." I was told that I was not the only person who had the problem of sin, that all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone was in the same position as myself. They were separated from a thrice holy God, facing certain death and judgment to come. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9, we're told, "Them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." But I'm thankful tonight for God's remedy for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." One Friday night in May 1991, an American evangelist called Chuck Ebron was preaching on the dangers of rock music. I remember very clearly going home that night in fear and trembling. I was under conviction of sin. I realized that if I didn't get right with the Lord Jesus Christ, if I didn't get right with the Lord, my soul would be in hell forever. That night I leant beside my bedside and in faith and with a repentant heart accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I can truly say that the burdens of my sin were lifted at Calvary and I had peace with God. Shortly after I got saved, I left the Church of Ireland and started attending the Methodist Church. After a while, I was invited to become a leader in the youth club that had been instrumental in pointing me to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you tonight that After I got saved, I grew in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But this was not the case. Looking back, I can attribute my this to a number of reasons. I was never consistent in the place of prayer. I cannot say I had time for a daily study of God's Word. I may have been indwelt with the Holy Ghost, but I cannot say I was ever filled with the Holy Ghost. I was never walking with Him. I was not in a church that preached Christ in all His fullness. The preaching of the Word was not the central act of worship in the church that I started to attend. Although I was saved, and I always had that assurance that I was saved, Christ was not the center of my life. I made many life-changing decisions in my late teens and early 20s without seeking the guidance of the Lord. A sure recipe for disaster. After graduating from Queen's in 1997 with a degree in civil engineering, I accepted a job with a construction company in England. Away from home and away from any godly influence in my life, I started to backslide, to walk in the ways of the world. I failed to take my stand for the Lord because I didn't want to be labelled as being different. I didn't want to be isolated from my work colleagues. So when they invited me out to the pubs and the clubs, I usually tagged along too. Thank God tonight that I never was tempted by the drink that was available in those places. But I'm ashamed to say that there was other lusts of the flesh that I was unable to resist. My morals began to deteriorate rapidly. The language that I started to use was the language of the gutter. I, to my shame, used the Lord's name in vain many a time. Unbeknown to my friends and family back home, I was living a secret life of sin in England. The Bible tells us that the pleasures of this world are only for a season. I became miserable in my sin. I'd lost that peace with God that I once had. I had forgotten, lost the wonder of the cross, the manner in which I was cleansed from my sins. I'd forsaken the things of God and I had ruined my testimony. These feelings of guilt and shame intensified when I was at home alone, and therefore I always tried to bury myself in my workplace. I found that to be a futile thing to do. I tried to run away from my sin, but I couldn't escape my sin. I tried cheering myself up by going on expensive foreign holidays. I had worked all these hours and earned all this money so I could go away and live the life of Riley away on these foreign holidays, but I couldn't hide from God. My sin was ever before me. Psalmist says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell below, or behold, thou art there. I could not run away from a sin. And it's my prayer this evening that the Lord will graciously show young people through my testimony that knowledge of sin through experience is not a blessing. Young people, watch your company. I got into the wrong company and was led astray. Please learn from my mistakes. Flee from the sin and the devil. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. The Lord's not a hard taskmaster. His commandments are not grievous to us. He tells us these things for our own protection, because he loves us. The devil knew that he could not have my soul, but he ruined my life of service for the Lord over in England. The Lord eventually, after many years, brought me to a point where I realized it was futile trying to run away from him. Instead, I needed to run back to him and seek his forgiveness if I ever was going to experience true happiness again. In the spring of 2005, I quit my job, I sold my house, and moved back to Northern Ireland. I began to reimmerse myself in the youth work at the Methodist Church I had left before moving to go to England. But it wasn't long before I got very uneasy about the ways the church was trying to reach the lost with the gospel. I was particularly uncomfortable with how the church employed worldly music to lure the young people into the youth club. The Lord spoke to me repeatedly through a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? There are professing Christians who will tell you that if you're going to reach the world, you have to use the world's methods. You have to use the world's music. That's not what the Bible tells me. My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The word of God clearly sets forth that the preaching is a singularly blessed means by which we are to evangelize the lost. The devil subtly tries to lure Christians away from the preaching of the gospel, and he tells them that they can reach the lost through the world's music. I tell you tonight, the devil's a liar. He's trying to promote an uncertain message, a message of confusion. The stand I took for the Lord on this matter resulted in me leaving the Methodist Church. It was a very distressing time for me. I wasn't very popular amongst my friends. There was a lot of hurt caused from the fallout, but I'm thankful that God cannot lie, and he keeps his promises. For he told me in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, for them that honour me, I will honour. The Lord graciously led me to Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church almost 3 years ago. I've been tremendously blessed under the ministry of Dr. Douglas and Reverend Thomas Martin. I can say I thoroughly enjoyed the preaching. I believe I've grown in the Word. I've also counted it a privilege to serve the Lord in whatever little way I can in the church. Each Tuesday night I assist the outreach team on the doors around Lisburn. And noted this morning that your minister made an appeal for those to think about joining the outreach team here. I can say it's been a real blessing to me to go out and meet people on the doors and speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It thrills my soul. I've also been able to serve the Lord in the Senior Youth Fellowship Committee. I've always had a burden for youth work amongst the teenagers and the young adults especially. For the past couple of years, I've also served as a leader on the Youth Council annual camp to Scotland and Armagh. And this year, I was given the responsibility of organising the camp. I also had the opportunity to do short-term mission work in the Philippines with Noel Stevenson. And I've also been to China and Vietnam on short-term mission work. In closing, I would like to thank the Lord once again for the grace and mercy He's bestowed on me. I'm thankful that the Lord never forsook me, even though I forsook Him. Thankful that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here tonight without Christ as your Savior. You may be resting on religion. You may be resting on your church attendance to get you into heaven. But Christ is the only way. He is the truth and the life. And I just urge you tonight to come and behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The hymn writer got it right when he said, O Christ, in thee thy soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Amen.